And NG is a native of Ames, Iowa. She's a PhD candidate in sustainable agriculture and sociology. And she's also a member of the Sustainable Ag Students Association, and has really vitalized that group. And it's sort of a tribute to neoliberalism that we have people like Angie as graduate students who are willing to speak up, but we have very few faculty members, current faculty members. And I also fault myself because I'm able to speak up because I'm no longer a faculty member. So, Angie.
Thank you, Jan.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, as Jan said, I'm from Iowa originally. I'm the fourth generation of my family to go to Iowa State University. And so I preface this by saying that my hope with this is that we can do better, I think. And that really drives a lot of the work that my fellow students and I have done on our campus. And so I'm going to talk today about two specific examples that illustrate a lot of what Dennis shared in a specific context. And the first one is the AgriSol development project that our Regent Rastatter started in Western Tanzania in 2010-2011. And I was involved with some students in raising attention about that. And the second one is more recently, the Gates Foundation has been funding research for the human subject trials of the first transgenic banana at Iowa State University. And we've been trying to raise awareness about that. So these two examples are what I'm going to talk about today. And I am one of a group of students. I've been there 5 years now, and so I've seen my friends come and go. But we do have a pretty strong core of students right now in our sustainable agriculture program, thanks to some efforts that began before I started. So when I started, there had been a few students who had said, hey, we need to be talking about social justice and power, because obviously that plays a lot into these systems of agriculture. And we're bringing together interdisciplinary students in an interdisciplinary program, but not all the students have the language to really understand this. How can we help share the language that we have in sociology with students from agronomy or natural resource ecology management and things to understand how this is working? So early on, 2011, we created social justice as a thematic area in the curriculum of the Sustainable Ag Program. And we were met with resistance that we'd be seen as activists and not scholars. But it was really important for us to have formalized and institutionalized in our program a space to talk about these things as part of our scholarship. So that gave us sort of license to do a lot of this work. It wasn't easy getting that all initiated, but once we were able to pass that in our curriculum, it gave us kind of a green light to start talking about these things as part of sustainable agriculture. So this is our student services wing in Curtis Hall, which Dennis showed the picture of him, showed the picture of Curtis Hall where the Leopold Center is housed, just upstairs actually from Monsanto Student Services Wing. This was recently renovated, paid for by Monsanto, that's why their name is on it, but this is what students now see as you go to see your academic advisors for the College of Ag and Life Sciences at Iowa State University. And so this is the context in which we're doing this work. This type of donations or gifts to our university are everywhere on our campus, and it's not questioned or publicly questioned in a very critical way. As Dennis talked about, Bruce Rastatter is known as a Republican kingpin in Iowa. He's a major Republican fundraiser for the National Republican Party. He's our Board of Regents chair right now. He was also the largest donor to Governor Branstad's reelection campaign and helped him do a lot of fundraising. So he's definitely a power player in our state. He's known for having made his fortune consolidating during the hog industry integration and then selling ethanol plants to the Koch brothers. He's made his money in a lot of different areas, all related to agriculture. And so he's an important figure in these stories that I'll be talking about today, as is Governor Branstad, who's been the governor all the years I've lived in Iowa, the 10 or so years that I left the state. We actually had other governors, but I came back, he was governor again. And then President Leith of Iowa State University, who when I started 5 years ago, was the new president at Iowa State University. Rastatter had been on his hiring committee. So these folks have a very close relationship. Recently, the Des Moines Register reported Rastatter saying that he talks to Governor Branstad almost weekly. Branstad always answers the phone when Rastatter calls. So we know that these three are working together very closely in our state. So in 2011, I guess it was, we first learned about a project called Agrisol, which was a billed as a rural development project in western Tanzania. Regent Rastatter's multinational agribusiness company, Agrisol, was spearheading this project. And he had recently donated millions of dollars to the university to create an endowed professorship and to create study abroad scholarships to encourage people to go to Tanzania and to do research about agricultural development. Iowa State was partnering with him on this project, and when we found out about it, there were a lot of concerns that were raised about what were the criteria by which this project was approved, how do we know that it's in the best interests of the people there in Tanzania. We just had lots of critical questions. Meanwhile, national and international groups were billing it as a land grab. They were saying Burundi refugees, hundreds of thousands of Burundi refugees were displaced from these lands in western Tanzania to make way for this agricultural development project. And so Dan Rather came to our campus in the fall of 2011 and talked to various people on our campus about this project. He started trying to pull together this story because there wasn't a lot in the press. And his team went to the refugee lands, talked to the Burundi refugees, and soon we were getting stories in the local press raising question about, why is Iowa State partnering on this project that's going to directly benefit Regent Rastatter's private business? And as students, we started raising questions as well. You can see here some of the partners in this project, and you'll see very familiar names like Pioneer, Monsanto, Cargill, John Deere. Obviously, this is a big agricultural development project. These people aren't known for working with small shareholder farmers. And they were trying to develop, they were talking about ethanol, they were talking about products for production, and it was under this guise of we're going to help these people. Summit Farms up there in the very far left, that's another one of Regent Rastatter's companies. That's his family farm in Iowa, is one of the investors in this project. So we had a lot of questions, because to us this didn't look like it was benefiting the refugees who had been displaced or small shareholder farmers in Tanzania. And we raised enough public pressure working with Dan Rather's team and with national organizations like the Oakland Institute that the university eventually backed out of their partnership. And this is some of the statement that our dean made, publicly acknowledging, we all got an email one day at Iowa State, that the university was backing out of this partnership. And you can see from her language that it's in large part to the efforts that the students and the community members did raising question about this project. But I think this language is really interesting in the context we're all here talking about, is that the role agricultural education can play in helping small farmers and families struggling against poverty and hunger. It's couched in this narrative that Dennis brought up, where in Iowa we're supposed to be feeding the world, we're solving these problems. It's under this guise of this benevolence, right? But we had a lot of questions about that as a community. And so they never answered our questions about how it was that Iowa State came to be involved in this project and if there was a conflict of interest with our region. Board of Regents chair. And so this is, the time of Occupy. And so our Occupy Iowa State and Occupy Ames groups hosted a teach-in off campus. We wanted it to be open to the community. We weren't trying to be directly antagonistic in any ways towards the campus or towards Iowa State. And we invited the community to come together to try to raise questions about what would be the criteria that we would want the university to use in engaging in these types of public-private partnerships? What should be the standards for these sorts of relationships? And we brought in farmers, we brought in people from community organizations. Paul Johnson, who wrote the foreword to Dennis's book, was there. So we brought in some major stakeholders from Iowa to talk about this. And it started a statewide campaign against Regent Rastatter for this seeming conflict of interest that was raised, that he had stood to benefit a lot from this project. We wanted things to be disclosed. We wanted to know how it was that Regent Rastatter didn't disclose this when he became a Board of Regents member. All of our regents in Iowa are governor appointed. So that started. People began appearing at Board of Regents meetings, raising questions and asking for Rastatter to be fired. A conflict of interest complaint was filed. So these were community organizations responding to efforts that the students had started. In the end, he maintained his position on our Board of Regents and is now actually the chair, the president of our Board of Regents. But this remains, every time Rastatter's brought up, this is still brought up. So it's part of this public story. Continued as students to put pressure on the administration to say, we want to know what were the criteria. Why do you think this project was a good idea? How are we going to avoid having this mistake in the future? And so we just kept asking and asking and asking. And a year and a half later, they finally had a forum with us about it. They finally adopted some criteria within the College of Ag and Life Sciences for these types of projects. But it was strung out over a long period of time. So it was a slight, we raised the issue, we won a little bit, you know, the people were displaced, the project is now halted, the university backed out of this project, but this guy is still, you know, very powerful in our state. And then the second example, so we learned, about a year ago last year, the Iowa State University sent out a participant request to a sample of women at Iowa State University to participate in the first human subjects feeding trials of a transgenic banana. And I was one of the people who received that email, so that's how we found out about it. It offered $900 to take part in this feeding trial to eat this banana that had been engineered to have vitamin A in part of it. So we started asking questions about it. There was not a lot known. The Des Moines Register has only published maybe two short articles about it in the whole year. NPR had a little bit about it. But Wendy White is a professor of food science. She's the lead PI on the project. It's being funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it's intended for Ugandan small shareholder farmers to address hunger problems in Uganda. In December, the African Food Sovereignty Alliance had 120 organizations sign on to a letter, national, international organizations, about their concerns with this study. And their questions were, how is testing this on a population in Ames, Iowa, who probably live mostly on beer and pizza, in any way an adequate test to see if this would actually help people, you know, who have hunger problems? Would it actually be make sense nutritionally for this population? What is the purpose of testing this in Ames? Questions were raised about the testing, and then also questions raised about, you know, why are we using this? You know, there's no silver bullet. Why are we using a transgenic banana when we might instead use sweet potatoes or something else that people are already using in the communities? And they sent this letter to Wendy White and to the Iowa State University deans, and they got no response. And so this past week, actually just Wednesday night, we had a critical dialogue at Iowa State that we organized as students. And we invited the College of Ag and Life Sciences and Dr. Wendy White to participate in that discussion. We spent about a month and a half planning this, putting together questions, trying to be very transparent about our process, just asking general things like, how did this study become housed at Iowa State University? Who will own this knowledge when you are done? How do you see this benefiting people in Uganda, a country where GM technology is currently illegal, right? So we had critical questions, but they were very respectful. We posted them on this website with all the information we knew so far about the study prior to our discussion, and we invited our deans. We said, you know, would you please designate somebody within the college who could come and speak to these questions with us? And their reaction was very defensive. And they said, we'd be glad to come, and we will bring all of these people with us. So they were, in fact, proposing a panel in and of itself, actually, to come to our transgenic banana discussion. Kevin Folta is a horticulturist at the University of Florida who's known. His project is funded by a lot of biotech industry, and it's about the communication of science and how we need to help people understand GM technology to be safe. So he's definitely has that opinion, and they wanted to bring in all the deans to come and talk about GM technology. But we had asked them to come and talk about the transgenic banana study, not debate GM technology. They accused us of putting science on trial. They used this language again, that, you know, we're helping millions of children in Africa, that this is something that is going to help us feed people, you know, that our discussion wouldn't be scientifically based. And so we had this discussion on Wednesday night. We had 80 people come. They were not on our panel, so we had those spots missing. But we had a cultural anthropologist. We had a philosopher who chairs our Center for Bioethics. And we had one of my fellow colleagues in the sociology department who is from Uganda, who studies biofortification. He's a student talking about, you know, other solutions, community-based solutions he had worked with on the ground in Uganda. So we had a really productive discussion there together. We had asked two people to come and moderate this discussion so it would be seen as more neutral than students, us leading it. And both of these faculty members are on a big grant project right now where they're studying the communication of genetically modified foods. So we knew they could come and talk, and they understand where the sticking points are in talking about these issues. And one of them actually backed out 2 days before the discussion, saying, "I think this seems too biased of a discussion. I'm not going to participate because you don't have anybody from the college coming." But obviously, we had tried every way to bring them there. And so as students, we talk a lot about this Vandana Shiva's concept of the monoculture of the mind at Iowa State, that we are working in a sort of systemic blindness now where science is only capped by a few privileged people and expert knowledge, and it's biological and natural sciences that are being privileged over social sciences and questions. Thank you. And we're working both in these examples we think of as examples of agri-colonialism and this new type of project where, you know, we're feeding the world is how we're justifying opening up these markets to technology that would benefit specific shareholders in the United States. But I show these pictures because I think this gives a little bit of hope. The challenges to these things exist beyond our campus. There are groups in our state that bring these up and challenge these powers in a very public way that support us as students. And so this is last month, Regent Rastatter had an Iowa Ag Summit where he invited all the Republican hopeful presidential candidates to come and talk about agricultural policy. And outside, actually, people were protesting Rastatter, protesting corporate ag, industrial ag, in a very loud and public way. And so it's recognized, at least on some level, the power structure and its influence of the university. We're working now to find ways that we can, you know, try to shift that. So I will end there. Thank you.